Y'all pray with me. Father, thank you so much for bringing me here today. I didn't get nervous until I sat in this chair. Please calm my nerves, Lord, and may you just soften the hearts in this room as I tell your story. Thank you so much for calling me into your family. Amen. Hi, my name is Marisha. I have a new life in Christ, recovering from guilt and shame. Hey. Genuflect, sit, stand, sit, kneel, and so on and so on. Being active in church took a whole other meaning to me, as Catholic Mass was always pretty active in my eyes. However, it was also the root of me trying to perform for God so that I could keep my weighted scale balanced to remain on his good side, to one day hopefully make it into heaven. Before I knew God intimately, I knew of God via third party. I would hear from him from the priest in church. I would make my request to him through Mary and the saints and sing of his love through lyrics and choir. But to me, I was never good enough to know him personally. To me, my sins were too great to be allowed in his presence or into heaven. So I created a scale to measure my good and my bad acts against one another, working to try and outbalance my bad acts with good ones. I would get drunk on the weekends, bad brick, and then attend church on Sunday, good brick. I sang in church choir, good brick. Became a Sunday school teacher, all to outweigh the bad bricks of smoking weed, popping pills, sneaking out, etc. I was exhausted trying to keep up with my good brick and bad brick scale. Yet no matter how exhausting keeping up with my scale was, nothing could outweigh my one good brick I still had, my virginity. Surely I was better than all my friends who were partying and having sex. What I failed to understand was that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and I was no better than anyone else. God doesn't see our sins as bigger or smaller. There was not a big act to cover big sins and a small act to cover small sins, only Christ on the cross to cover all sins. Yet I was far from understanding this, so my good and bad brick scale continued into college. However, my scale was shattered the day my virginity brick was taken from me. I was partying one Friday night with our designated guys to watch over us to make sure we got home okay. And at some point, I blacked out from drunkenness, and I woke up in a bedroom with one of our guy friends on top of me. I started crying silently once I realized what was happening. I could not make a sound. I was in shock of what was going on. He realized that I was upset and stopped. He looked at me and told me that I wanted it, and then he left. The rule of no sex before marriage was more than just a rule for me. It was an idol and my one way into heaven, and I had just lost it. Unfortunately, I grieved the loss of my ticket into heaven rather than processing what actually happened to me. For 3 years, I told myself it was my fault. I was drunk. I was probably flirty, and I probably came off as wanting to go that direction. Yet in my heart, I knew that I would never compromise my golden ticket into heaven. The next 3 years were spent wallowing in guilt and shame from that night. In my eyes, I was ruined, so why not keep indulging? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10 says. And Satan was stealing my joy, keeping me from a relationship with God with this lie, and destroying my self-esteem and self-worth through each sexual act. Every time I would slip up with sex, I would still go to church on Sunday, but I would not let myself go in. I would sit in the parking lot and cry, heavy with all the guilt and shame of who I was. I didn't think I was good enough to enter into God's house. I would go to confession multiple times, to multiple priests, to multiple churches, trying to get rid of my guilt from my sin, yet nothing happened. I heard so many times that Christ died for all of my sins, yet I was trying to erase my sin and make myself new by going through these rituals in hopes to be forgiven. I was trying to do what only Christ could do for me. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us settle the matter," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." November 2011, I met a Christian guy. He was a missionary, and I was excited. I'd never dated a real Christian guy before, and my self-worth started to improve as he wanted to read the Bible together and wanted to bring me around his family. Yet we all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And he was no exception to the lure of sin. Eventually, he too led me into sexual acts that brought back my guilt. But I fought that guilt this time with the thought, this can't be bad since we aren't having actual sex. Besides, he's a man of God who has been on mission for years. Surely someone who knows God that well wouldn't leave me to do something we were not supposed to do. However, 1 month into our relationship, his conviction set in and he broke up with me, saying he could not have a Christ-centered relationship with me. Bam. This was the final nail in my self-built guilt and shame coffin. I buried myself in hatred toward God and resentment against my ex. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to go to church or even be friends with anyone who went to church. Well, you can't avoid Mass during Christmas, being a Mexican Catholic. So a few weeks later, I had to face God again. After that, I decided to try a new church. I did this more as like a take that type God attitude. I will no longer go to your church. I will pursue church through a different way. Well, that backfired quickly. As I started to attend a Bible church, I heard the gospel presented in a simple way I had never heard before, and I was hooked. I never knew that you could have a personal relationship with Christ that the pastor spoke about, and I was curious to learn more. So I did what any millennial would do when they had a question, and I Googled how to have a relationship with Christ. In the search, I stumbled upon a page with the header reading regeneration. I hate reading online texts and articles, so I barely read halfway down the description, which spoke about renewing your relationship with Christ, and I thought I would try it out. Wow, I should have read the rest of the description. I thought this was just going to be another Bible study class. I came in one Monday night and was so uncomfortable with the authenticity of the testimony on stage. I tried to write down all the 12 steps while people were creepily saying them out loud and wondered what exactly I walked into. With the testimony that particular night, I thought this was a program for people who have sex, drug, or alcohol issues, and thinking I didn't really have any issues like that, so maybe this just isn't for me. But I was wrong. God is so faithful. He gave me this burning desire to return week after week to hear these testimonies of healing and grace as he courted me closer and closer to him. The biblically based curriculum in Regen challenged all of the lies I had created for myself about God. Being here made me realize that I had never truly accepted what Christ did for me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, yes. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, Romans 3:23-24. I never accepted that Christ alone covered all my sins and realized I was trying to work for my salvation. Yet Ephesians 2:8-9 roots me in truth. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Upon realizing I couldn't work my way to heaven, and there was nothing I could do to make God love me more, and nothing I could do to make God love me less, I hit the ground running away from my old self and became addicted to his supernatural love, peace, and joy that I found in his presence. I fled from guys and bars I found life in beforehand. I cut my hair short and stopped wearing makeup for a year as I found so much comfort and identity in that rather than Christ. I wanted to challenge myself to truly find my soul identity in God. I stopped dating completely to focus my heart on God and allowed him to have my heart's undivided attention. And I opened his word for the first time to actually read it consistently. I clung to Christ as I learned to be comfortable in my new life of being open and vulnerable in my Regen group with no makeup and short hair. For the first time, I fought to be closer to a different God, not a God that saw my good and bad brick scale, but a God that saw me as his own daughter and counts me as one of his own. I pursued God purposefully, not perfectly. I still struggled to adapt to my new life with Christ, and I was tempted to quit many times when I tried to live righteously on my own without God's strength. It took God's power to not conform to the pattern of this world, which I was so accustomed to, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, Romans 12:2. During this time, God also called me into a community group of godly women who are still great friends with me today. They saw me through my painful and emotional transition of leaving the Catholic Church and helped me answer all my theology questions. They saw me try and quit and lovingly pulled me back. They were my first friends to completely know me, struggles and all, and for them to not run despite knowing my mess made me feel completely loved. I never thought I was good enough to have strong Christian friends. So to laugh and be admonished and be loved to the point of sisterhood is a constant reminder from God that I am good enough to be in relationship with him and his people. Region changed my distorted view of God. Community challenged my unhealthy view of fun and encouraged me to continue to walk with Christ after Region was over. I started Region in spring of 2012 and finished in early 2013. In that time, God erased my skill that I had built for myself, called me into direct relationship with him, equipped me with steps in Region and community to strengthen my walk with him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 started to truly define my life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, behold, the new has come. It wasn't a month after Region when a godly man and race car driver asked me to coffee. I knew nothing about dating in the whole believer world, but apparently coffee is a big deal. Coffee went great, and he asked me on a second date. This is where I got nervous, and my old guilt and shame lie crept in. You're not good enough to date a Christian man. Don't forget that you're ruined. I battled this lie with scripture, but years of entertaining it trained my brain to consistently return to this lie. It was our second date, and I decided to be open about my past with Robbie. I shared with him my Catholic upbringing, how I had been taken advantage of, my partying past, and recreational sport of dating multiple men. I wanted to be sure he knew exactly what he was in for while simultaneously trying to scare him off. So I told him everything while nervously not looking up for my slice of pizza on my plate. When I had finished telling him of my painful past, I finally had the courage to look up for my dinner to see what his reaction would be. And wouldn't you know, he had the most love-drunk looking smile on his face. He reminded me that he doesn't see me as defined by my past sin. He reminded me that I'm a new creation, and to see me as anything less would betray the Holy Spirit and new life he saw in me. I wanted to cry with joy, but instead I took a huge bite of pizza, chewing slowly, and fought back tears while wondering what the heck was wrong with this guy. How could someone know all of my past and still see me as a new creation? My community of girls walked me through that relationship in 2013 as I broke up with Robbie, or tried to, multiple times. I was still continuing to fight God and what he had for me. I fought him on leaving the Catholic Church. I fought him on staying in community, and I fought him in this dating relationship. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, Jeremiah 29:11 says. And I had to learn to trust and have faith in God that he loved me and wants what's best for me. When Robbie proposed to me, May of 2014, with Isaiah 41:10, I finally knew and accepted that's what God had for me. The verse reads, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And Robbie promised with God's strength to never leave me, just as God had promised not to leave Israel. I had an artist render the verse on a backdrop for our wedding, so when I walked down the aisle, I could be reminded that God was walking with me in this. It would strengthen me and uphold me with his righteous right hand. Robbie, you are not someone I was looking for. Marriage is something I had never been excited about, and God completed the renewal of my guilt and shame mind by working through you to finalize my full affirmation in Christ. You didn't see me as not good enough for you, and you didn't see me as I saw myself. Ruined. Most importantly, I finally accepted, as you pointed me to Christ throughout our relationship, that God didn't see me as not good enough to be called his child. And he didn't see me as ruined either. Now let me be clear. Marriage is not a sure product of recovery. Growing closer to Christ plus Region does not necessarily equal a spouse. For so long, I made God into a human equation of my good works and church every Sunday equals God's love. So placing God in an equation for so many years made me miss out in an authentic relationship with him, and I would hate for someone else to do the same. I still struggle with my guilt and shame as God calls me to different ministries with a new life with him. I had to fight off the lie that I was not good enough to lead a closed group in Region, that I'm not good enough to share my story of grace with you, that I wouldn't fit in with my new foundation group because of my past, or I'm not good enough to tell people about Christ. The lie that I'm not good enough, over time though, has turned from paralyzing, tearful, agonizing thoughts in my head to a whisper I'm able to crush with God's powerful truth. But it's important to note that it's still there. Through region, community, and God's word, I have multiple weapons to battle the enemy's lies and enjoy life to the fullest in God's will for my life. I prayerfully came to Regent in early 2015 as a leader, hoping to serve and for God to use me to help women through their hurts and strengthen their relationship with God. Instead, God turned the table on me, as he so often does, and grew my relationship with him through the encouraging stories of the women whose testimonies are being written right before me. I came to serve and instead feel as I was served equally, if not more, by all the life-changing growth within my group. To say I am honored doesn't cover the immense privilege I feel to have co-led God's group of beautifully strong women who are courageously seeking him through their new lives in Christ. I used to believe I was not good enough to associate with his body of believers, not good enough to be called to be with a godly man, and not good enough to be in his presence and crying in this very church parking lot at one time because I didn't think I was good enough to enter, to now sitting on his stage for him, being fully known and loved in a community group, married to a man living for Christ, and talking directly with my God daily. For so long, I thought I didn't deserve to be near him when he actually was with me the entire time. In Matthew 28:20, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he left us with the promise, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And he's with us even now. He's with you as Satan tries to convince you this program is not for you and you can't find healing. He's with you and ready to heal you from that incident that you think is your fault and that relationship that supposedly can never be mended. If this is your first time, you're in a safe place to be open, to be fully known, and maybe for the first time, to be fully loved. Thank you for letting me share his story.